For that, why don't we stand briefly? We're going to read a couple of verses, and then we will let you be seated. I know we're a little bit later, and we have family nights, so I will not be long tonight. I will talk fast. You will listen fast, and it will all be good. Psalm chapter 127. Psalm 127, if I could. You know what, Jeremy? If I could get a little clarity on these up front, it just seems a little, I don't know how it sounds out there, but here to me, I'm a little bit unclear. Psalm chapter 127, verse number 1. It seems like it's getting good. Thanks. Psalm chapter 127, verse 1, it says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the wonderful service we've had so far. I just pray in these few minutes as we look at a few principles that you would encourage us and strengthen us in our families. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Of course, we're in the summer, we always talk a little about the family, and we've been talking, we're calling it this year's series, What a Christian Family Looks Like, a Family Portrait. And so we've looked at many things over the last few weeks since the summer has started. And let me say this about anybody who's really who preaches or teaches. You know, of all the things we talk about, one of the things, if we're honest, we would say as pastors, that we feel inadequate to talk about being parents and really marriage. Now, we understand what the Bible says, and we've been married for a while, and we've raised kids, but we also understand who we are, okay? And we also understand that in spite of our frailties, God still wants to do things in our families and in our lives. We have been looking over the past few weeks at some principles from some of the characters in the Bible. We look at the characters of the Bible, and it's like, man, some of these people, they just didn't get it. Well, a lot of times, to be honest with you, we don't get it. They're human just like us. And so what we've been trying to do is learn from some of the examples, some good and some bad, of some of the couples in the Bible, and then some of the parents in the Bible, some of the mistakes they've made. And so someone has said it's best to learn from mistakes, but it's better to learn from somebody else's mistakes than your own. And so we want to look. God put all this in the Bible for our admonition and for our example. Of course, the reason we read Psalm chapter 127, because it's a key there. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. We can do everything that we are supposed to do as parents, but if God's not a part of what we're doing, if God's not intimately tied into our family, then really everything we're doing, in an essence, is a little bit in vain when it comes to having children that are what God wants them to be. God has to be right there with us building our homes. And so we're going to look at a few examples today. Turn to 1 Samuel in your Bibles, chapter 3. We're going to look at Eli here. Last week we looked at Moses and his wife Zipporah, and we talked about compromise. And then we looked at Jacob and Rachel, and we saw that in their families, really, they reaped what they sowed. And so we need to be careful about that. Now there's a positive and a negative to that we looked at. This week we're going to look at a couple of them. But first we're going to look at is Eli. What is the principle that, what's the negative principle we could learn from them? From Eli. He didn't put any restraints on his children. He didn't put any restraints on his children. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 10. It says, "And the Lord came and stood and called at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth." Now, Samuel was at the house of the Lord, and Eli was kind of mentoring him to be a leader there. And God's going to talk to Samuel. And Eli's, they're going to hear a little bit about it too. Verse 11, "And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at the which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons have made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever." As God starts to speak to Samuel, the very first thing he tells him is that his mentor, the guy that's been training him and teaching him, God is going to judge his house. He tells him why. Because his sons had some serious sin issues, and he didn't stop them or put any restraints on them. Flip over to 1 Samuel 2, the chapter back there. We're going to look at verse 22 to 25, and then we'll give an application here. Of course, in verse 12, he says the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. Verse 22, now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel. Now, listen to what his sons were doing. How they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. These guys were servants of the Lord, and I'm not even going to, it's a mixed crowd here, and there's some younger ones here. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but you know what that is. That was not good. They were using their job as a way to immorality. And he said unto them, look, Eli says, why do you such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all the people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. Yeah, he gave them a little pep talk, and he said a little something. But listen, he should have took serious measures. And by the way, the issues they had did not start when they were older. The issues they had were a result of what was going on with them when they were younger. Eli did not put restraints. His children didn't know the Lord. They were using their position to get the best. They were using it for their own personal sinful desires. And by the way, it's not that Eli was a bad man, but in this area, he did not put restraints on them. Now, let me say, restraints, I don't mean put handcuffs on your children, okay? That sounds like they got busted. But listen, children need restraints. Now, that is not popular in the society in which we live. Fact of the matter is, you know what we're told? Don't put any restraints on your children. Let them do their own thing. Can I just tell you something? There's a word for that, and here's the word. That's ridiculous. Can I just tell you something? No little two-year-old is going to run my house. That ain't happening. And by the way, kids are what you allow them to be. You go out and I go out and you see it everywhere. I remember I was out making some visits, and when I'm out making some visits on Saturday for my Sunday school class, I always do what any good Christian would do. I stop and get some coffee. Because coffee is of God. But I stopped and I was at a Starbucks and I was getting some coffee. And there was a family in front of me, husband, wife, and a couple of small kids. And the little kid walked up to his mom and he grabbed something he wanted. He goes, hey, buy this for me. And she goes, no. And I'm like, that's a good word. I'm like, you know, she wasn't mean. Just like, no, you don't need that. And I thought, wow. Because most of the time you're in that place, the kid throws a tantrum. And they bought their stuff and I bought mine and I was waiting for it. Oh, no, I was putting creamer in it because I didn't get those sissy drinks. I just get coffee. And so I was putting some creamer in it and they're standing next to me waiting for their stuff. And the little kid that didn't get what he wanted walked over and started kicking his mom in the leg. It's like, boom, boom. I wanted that. She didn't do anything. And dad was sitting there, and he didn't do anything. It would be a cold day before one of my kids kicked me in the leg. They would only do it once. There's no restraints. Now, I'm not saying we're supposed to be ogre, but children do better when you teach them. You do this, you do this. There are rewards when you do well, and when you don't do well, there are unrewards. They need restraints in their life. Children run everything. Everything. Our society is just told, you can't say anything to your children. Just let them do whatever they want. Well, the Bible talks about that. Proverbs 29:15 says, the rod and reproof give wisdom. When there's discipline and there's rebuke, when children don't do wrong, you're teaching them. By the way, that's the whole purpose. People always come, they got a little two-year-old, say, oh, my child is in the terrible twos. How many of you ever heard that? Now, some of your kids are in the terrorist twos, okay? They're a whole different level. Can I just tell you something? It's not the terrible twos. You know what I call it? I call it the testing twos. That's the time they're getting a little older and they're starting to test you to see, are mom and dad really going to put some restraints on us? Or can we get away with bloody murder? You just look at, You teach them, they will follow along. Are they going to be perfect? No, kids are kids, okay? That's like a constant thing you have to do. But he says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but here's the key. A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Isn't that sad? So, well, I'm just going to let them, they'll learn. No, they won't learn. They're going to bring shame to you. Do you understand that's what's wrong with our society. We have broken down the whole structure of our society. God has ordained families. A mom and dad working together with those children. Now, I understand sometimes things happen and families break apart and that's not God's plan, but it happens. But primarily, now we're saying a family is whatever. And this and that. But listen, that God has a structure there. And that's to help the children and nurture them and teach them. No wonder we have so many adults that act like children because they've never been made to do anything and they've never been made to grow up. They can't keep the law. They think rules are ridiculous. And by the way, let me say this, parents, and I'm saying I don't teach in our Christian school. I don't work in our Christian school. But let me just throw a bone to our teachers. When your child gets in trouble for not keeping the rules at the school, don't take their side. Now, if you think something's wrong, go check it out. But when you take little Oswald's side, you know what you're saying? Rules don't apply to you. My children all know better. They are not, because if they get in trouble and they come home and talk about it, now I know about it, now they're going to be in more trouble. So they're like, you know what? I deserve that. They just figure, I got those demerits at school, I deserve them, and I'm not going to tell dad about it, I'm just going to deal with it. They're not going to come home and whine about their teacher, I'm not going to put up with it. Okay, why? I want them to learn, by the way, that's good for them to learn. That's how society works. It's like, listen, that's just, you know, I get these people, everybody's against me. No, when you're going the wrong direction, it just seems that way. But we're just teaching them, that's all. Sit up straight, okay, don't do that. So, oh, you hate my kid. I don't hate your kid. No one hates your kid. Say, have your children ever got in trouble at school? Yes. And we don't hate them when they got their demerits or their whatever they got, you know. The tension. Back in the day, we used to swat the children. And Brother Esposito called me one time, and I'll call Stephen out. Stephen did something he wasn't supposed to do, and Brother Esposito said, I offered him swats or detention. He said swats. Oh, no, I'm sorry. He said he wants detention. Are you okay with that? I said, no. Give him swats and detention. Okay? And then he'll deal with me when he gets home. I'm like, why? I want him to know, listen, you're not a bad kid, Stephen. You're not as handsome as me, but you're not a bad kid. You know what? Because that happens. By the way, stuff I did in school was horrific. I told you many times, I had a third grade teacher, Dominguez Elementary School. He spanked us. In front of the whole class with a yardstick. Can I just tell you something? When he said sit up, you know what? I felt led of God to sit up. Like, sit up? I'm like, how up do you want me to sit? And whenever I got, you say, how many times did you get swat? Way too many, once a week. You know what happened? Because out on the playground, I do something ridiculous and they turn me in, and after lunchtime, it's like, okay, so-and-so, come on down. And it wasn't the Price is Right. And it's like, here we go. But you know what? My mom didn't complain about that. In fact, the matter is, I didn't like it, but I didn't complain about it because every time I got it, I deserved it. But that's what we need. Children need restraints. Do you understand, parents, one day your children are going to grow up and move out of your house, and they're going to be adults, and they're going to have to make their own decisions, and they're going to have to live with their own consequences. Let's prepare them for that day. Eli didn't do that. His kids were totally out of control, and we're supposed to teach them. You know what's killing our generation? I'm going to tell you what's killing our generation. Too much freedom. Too much freedom. By the way, I'm not, you probably think I am, but I'm not. You can talk to I'm not a dictator. I think if you start young with the children, the older they get, the less you have to deal with them. I'll just be honest, because now every now and then, because they're ridiculous, they'll do something, right? And you have to deal with them. A couple years ago, we had one of the boys, they Jack and Josiah were in high school. I don't know if Josiah may have been junior high, but Jack got the idea with some of the kids. They were cleaning in here that a shaving cream pie to the face would be funny. And so Josiah came in, and he was totally, totally oblivious, and his eyes were wide open. And they just like splat. He didn't have time to close his eyes. And his eyes were burning. And they were burning for like 45 minutes, and they were not getting better. I went in there, and I'm like, Jack, I'm going to deal with you when we get home. But we're dunking his head in the water, and like, it's just not working. So it was so bad, we called our optometrist. He goes, yeah, he goes, that's not good. It should have already stopped burning. So I had to bring him in for a treatment. It was $75. Now, my children, when they're in high school, they have little accounts. They have little accounts with debit cards, and it's attached to my account so that it's free for them. So I went home. I said, first discipline, Jack. I said, I know you didn't mean to do it, but it was irresponsible. I'm not paying the $75. You are, and I've already transferred it from your account to mine. Now, I'll be honest with you. I didn't need his $75. But I didn't mind it either, okay? But I'm like, I want him. And by the way, he didn't fight it. But it's like, I want him to understand, that was not very well thought out. And you need to think about that, okay? I'm just saying, why don't we try to do the best we can to train our children? Okay? Put a little bit. We just have way too many freedoms. I personally think, and if you don't like this, please don't crucify me. I don't think teenagers need cell phones. I shouldn't have backpedaled on that. Let me just stand a little forward. I don't think they need cell phones. There is nothing good about teenagers and cell phones. Our house, the rule is, same with driving. By the way, if you want to let your kids drive, that's up to you. I don't let them get a license till they're 18. Because you say, why? I just don't trust them, and I don't want to pay that insurance for a 16-year-old. Amen? But when they're 18, you can get your license. When you're 18, you get a cell phone. Unless you've done something for me not to trust you, then I may not get you one. But you say, you're ridiculous. If you knew half the things I knew, you'd say, you're smart. Okay? Say, well, what about if they go on a youth activity? Brother Ross, let's just settle this right now. If they're on a youth activity and they need to call mom, can they use your phone? Okay, there we go. We solved that problem. Let's be a little bit careful. Because, you know, there's something nice about earning. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But let's just be careful. Yes, I understand that. Yes, I want them to learn responsibility. I'm all for that. But let's age grade that thing. Okay? Let them get a little more responsibility as they get older. Let's not just throw it at them when they're younger. Because freedom, look, all the nonsense, and you know I didn't grow up in a Christian home, all the nonsense I was involved with, and I was involved with a lot of it. And I'm just going to be real honest with you. You know where it all came from? And I had way too much freedom. Now, I came from a single parent family. My mom, and by the way, my mom did the best job she could, and if it wasn't for her, I'd have been even worse. But I still, because I was a little tricky, I could still get freedom I wanted. And so it's not good. So let's make sure. Let's teach the children. Let's just teach them a little bit. Let me give you one more for tonight. We'll turn over to Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25. A couple of this verse, it bothers me. This verse, it's a little bit sad. Genesis chapter 25. 5 verse 27. We looked at Rebekah and Isaac when we looked at the marriage principle. But here's another one. Genesis chapter 25, we'll read 27 and 28. And the boys grew, Esau and Jacob. And Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. Of course, the marriage principle we saw from this family was they allowed the children to bring a division between them. Okay? But there's something here that to me personally is a little bit sad. And Isaac loved Esau, which is good, right? Look at the next few words. Because he did eat of his venison. To me, that's sad. He based his love on what the children did for him. See, his son was a hunter and he was into hunting. And he liked the fruit of what his son did. And so his love for Esau, which was more than his love for Jacob, was based on what he got from his child. Let me just tell you something. That goes against everything being a parent is. Everything. In case you've not figured it out, being a parent is not about you. It's, you know what, parent, having a child is kind of God's way of slapping you, saying, you're not single anymore. It's like, you got this little person here, and they take a lot of time, and they take a lot of effort, and they take a lot of energy, and they take a lot of sacrifice. But sometimes we put all of our stock in our children for what they can do for us. Now, by the way, let me say this. We've had a bunch of children. We have seven. And I love all of them, and they're all a blessing, and I enjoy having them, Brother Pichardo. I can't imagine not having my children. I just wish they lived somewhere else, okay? Can't imagine not having the children. Each one of them has added something to our family, and I am blessed by them. But can I just tell you something? The reason I'm blessed by them isn't that, is because we invest in them, because we are there to be their parents. And as I mentioned about playing favorites and so forth, be careful because, each of your children are going to be different. And it's so easy for what's different about them to connect with you where you just don't connect with one of the other ones. So this one is giving you more, so you have more of a love for that one than you do for this one. Listen, we're going to love all of them the same. They are all uniquely made by God with weaknesses and strengths. But let's not be selfish about our children. There's a couple ways we can do that. We base our love on their performance. You better be good. If you're good, it's all good. You know, well, I love this one because that one gets straight A's in school and it's on the honor roll and all that stuff. This one struggles in everything. And by the way, we've had that. I'm not going to call out one of my children, but one of them, and it's been down, I can tell you which ones struggle, and my wife will sit there and tries to teach them their spelling words because they'll struggle with it. I remember she had one of the older ones that was struggling, and they kept going over the word and going over the word and going over the word, and they were just struggling with it, and Jack, who was a real little boy, just stepped up 3 or 4 years young, just like, he just spelled it right there, like blah, 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 blah. It's not even his age. He had no problem with it. The older one's struggling. Here he is like, I know that word already. Don't you? They're all different. Doesn't make one better than the other. Some take a little more energy or a little more effort in this area or that area. But why? We just, their performance. You know, if you're good, well, I just got to be very careful about that, parents. We see it sometimes with the sporting events. Can I just tell you something about your child? Not all of your children are going to be the top performers on our basketball team. Some of them will be bench warmers. Okay? That's just how it is. Well, how come my child's not up there? I'll just be honest with you. He's not that good. But you know what? There's another area where he will be good. Doesn't make him bad. Okay? I had one of the girls on my volleyball team one time said, you play I used to coach. That was always a bad idea in the early days. But it's like, you play favorites. And I said, yes, I do. And you know who my favorite players are? The ones who can play. If they can play, they're my favorite. Okay? No. But your kid may still here or still there. But I like sports, and that's more important to me. And here's, you got the one child that hits the threes and all that. And you have this child over here that's not good at that, but they're good at this. Hey, listen, celebrate what they can do. Don't make, your kids do not have to earn your love. That's wrong. By the way, they should have your love for one reason. They were born into your family. Okay? That's just how it is. And how sad it is that this family was divided because Esau connected, he connected with Esau because Esau had that. Listen, he should have loved them all. It shouldn't be based on performance. Some are smarter than others. Some are more skilled than others. Some will be more successful than others. Some are more athletic than others. But guess what? Wherever they do good at, that's where God made them to do good at. I'm not interested in that. Then get interested in that. One thing that helped me with my mom, although I was a punky kid, the whole nine, everything, she realized I like sports. And so because I like sports, she started liking sports. She figured, you know, here she is raising this kid, no dad. I had older siblings. Most of them were out of the house. And she's like, I got to connect with them. And so she would do all kinds of crazy stuff. Back in the day, she would like, hey, let's pick the winners for football. Remember Brother Herod used to do that? He'd bring the paper and we chose what team. My mom's like, we would do that every week, Brother Machado, because she knew I liked football. And she'd like, get the paper out. And she got pretty good. She could care less. Years later, when I was in Bible college in Indiana, I'd call home and talk to her, how are you doing? And she'd say, I'm doing fine. Man, the Dodgers stink. I'm like, I haven't even paying attention to the Dodgers. I kind of live out here now. I'm kind of liking the Cubs. God's cursing me for that, but I kind of like the. But she wanted to talk about the Dodgers and how the Rams were doing and how the Lakers were doing. I'm like, I just called to see how you were doing. But, you know, that meant something. She was trying to reach me on my level. She wanted to be interested in the things I was interested in. Not that necessarily she cared, but she knew I cared about it. Hey, let's be careful that we love our kids simply because they are our child. And let's not love them based on selfishness. Too many parents, I'll be done in a couple minutes. Too many parents, you're trying to live your life vicariously through your children. That's dangerous. You're going to try to dictate their future, even if that's not where they're gifted, even if that's not where God wants them. Just kind of force it on them. There's a football player, and he didn't do very good. His name was Todd Marinovich. How many remember him? Played for USC, played for the Raiders. He played for a few years. He ended up getting out of football. His life was messed up, the whole thing. His dad, from the time he was a little boy, decided he was going to be a professional quarterback. And that's what he raised him for. And pushed him, and pushed him, and pushed him, and pushed him, and pushed him. Everything he did was geared toward, that won't help you be a quarterback. Oh, his son made it, but his son didn't last very long, and his son ended up messed up. Maybe his dad should have said, what does God really want this kid to do? What is he gifted at? You know, some of you, and you wouldn't say it out loud, you wouldn't want your kid to serve God full-time anywhere. You want him to be a doctor or a lawyer because you want him to make money. And by the way, let me throw this out so you don't understand. I'm not against people making money because you could help us get the building done. But you better make sure that's what God wants you to do. Yeah, so, well, I want my child to be a lawyer. Listen, they're not all going to be lawyers. Everybody wants their child to be a doctor or a lawyer. You know how hard it is to be a doctor or a lawyer? But you're trying to, now, let me say this. I'm not saying let's not impose on our children or not impose. Let's not encourage them to be the best they can be. I'm not saying that. Don't take that anywhere. You ought to encourage them to go for it and have discipline and be the best they can be. But don't try for you to impress on them what you necessarily want them to do. And if you do think, hey, this is a gift they have and they go that direction, that's fine to encourage them. But if God intervenes, don't fight God. But that's what I've always wanted my child to do. That's fine if that's what God wants him to do. We talked about stewardship this morning, stewardship of money. See, we have a hard time with that, Brother Bichardo, because we have our own dreams and our own thing for our money. What about stewardship of our children? Trusting God enough to say, God, what do you want him to do? And by the way, so you want every child in your school to be a pastor or a pastor's wife or something like that? No, we want every child in our school to do God's will. And if that's God's will, let's not fight it. That's what God, the touch of God. Yeah, I don't want my child to go overseas and be a missionary. What if that's what God wants them to do? Do you understand that your child might be a millionaire and they could be miserable because they're not in God's will? I would rather my child be in God's will than be a millionaire. Now, if God's will is for them to be a millionaire, they're going to tithe, amen? Okay, they're going to pay for the building. But there's something in each one of us that God has for us to do, and that's the thing that's going to make us have the joy that God wants us to have. Let's make sure that we're not superimposing ourselves on them. Let's love our children for who they are. Let's not make them earn our love because they perform. Say, but man, I have one child at school, you know, they're always on the honor roll. The other one, they get disciplined a lot. Love them both. They're your children. That's a sad, very, very sad thing. Let's all stand together this evening. Thank you for listening.